There we go. My microphone came out of the little dealy there. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen? Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to say you guys may be seated, but most of you already are. So, well, what a difference a couple of months makes, huh? Who would have thought a couple of months ago all of this would be taking place here today? Now, I want to first off thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. I hope that everybody's been doing well. I know you've been able to see me, but I haven't been able to see you, and so it's so good to see everybody. We've called folks and talked with you over the phone to make sure you're doing okay, and God has been so faithful and so good to provide our needs and to keep us safe and for us to do well in that way. So, amen. God bless you guys. And also, we want to welcome all those that are viewing here today on Facebook Live. We are so glad that you're joining us here today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What do you know about that? Yeah. Pentecost Sunday! Some 2,000 years ago, the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed. We say happy birthday to the Bride of Christ this morning. Really, we're celebrating the birth of the Church and the Holy Spirit doing what He did and coming and falling upon the folks that were gathered in that upper room. Did you know that before that day in the upper room, there were only the Holy Spirit just fell upon people for certain times, on certain occasions, for certain purposes. But on that day, the Holy Spirit fell on all of those that were there and gathered in the upper room. And from that day to today, the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is available to you today. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, we have a phone number. Which one is it on? This side right here, I believe it is. And there's a phone number that we've set up for you all. And if you'll look at it right there, in fact, I'm going to have to just go around and take a look at that number. Joseph, do you have the phone number? Somebody call that phone number out to me real quick and make sure I know what it is. I know it's 803-389-5083. If you'll write that phone number down, and also if you're viewing here today on Facebook Live and you have a prayer request, if you receive the Lord today at the end of this service, we want to just communicate with you and let you know about some things we have going on that'll help you in your growth and your relationship with the Lord. If you need prayer for something, if there's any communication at all, if you're visiting here today and this is your first time here, I mean, just say, hey, I'm visiting, and we'll communicate with you and send you a greeting as well. We just want to connect with you that way. That's our phone number for you to communicate with us in that way. Certainly, you've seen the other billboard over there, the tune into 88.3 on your FM dial, so you can hear us, and I know many of you are doing that. I'm sorry about lines of sight if you're not able to see us, but if you're not able to see us real good, hey, go to your Facebook Live page if you have a social media Facebook page, and you can actually view us from there if you like to. So there's multiple ways that we can do this, but it's so good to see everybody here today. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, and I'm so thankful today on our first Sunday back in our corporate gathering with our drive-in service is that we can do it on Pentecost Sunday. Just as a full disclosure, up until this point, if you've been watching me on Facebook Live, I pretty much from here down have been wearing sweatpants and flip-flops on Sunday mornings. So I had to figure out what these things were. Oh yeah, they're long pants, so I get to wear those today and dress up a little bit more. But it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, we want to move on here. By the way, you should have received a communion cup. If you haven't, please maybe get out of your car and wave at the folks that are here to help you with that. We're going to receive communion at the end of our time here today. If you're viewing on Facebook Live, we also want you to have some elements out there. It can be anything. It can be some tea, whatever it is you have, some juice of some sort, a little cracker or something like that. And we're going to receive communion at the end of our time here today. And praise the Lord. Let's move on here. So today is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to honor and celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it seems that in churches across the world today, that the Father is somebody that we love, the Son is somebody that we adore, but a lot of times, unfortunately, it seems like that the Holy Spirit is somebody that we either ignore, we're afraid of, or we somehow diminish in some way from who He really is. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is here for us today, and He is accessible to all who would believe. I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit and give you an opportunity at the end of our time here today to actually have an experience, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus taught a great deal in the book of John. If you know anything about the Bible in the New Testament, the book of John is a powerful book. It's the one of the fourth of the four Gospels. He taught a lot about the Holy Spirit that was about to show up. It hadn't quite yet shown up in a way that they experienced in the upper room. And He said that among other things, that the Holy Spirit would help us to effectively represent Christ to a hurt and hate-filled world, and also that the Holy Spirit would empower us to spread the good news of salvation to all who would believe. How many knows, especially in light of all this going on in the last few days in this country, that the world is hurt and filled with hate and needs Jesus Christ? Needs the good news of Jesus Christ. We are in such a place in our world. I mean, if you take the coronavirus, that pandemic that's not only faced the world, and you take that by itself, you would see that there's a great need. But add to it what's been happening in these last few days across this country, and we realize that we live in a world that's hurting and it's filled with hate, and we must represent Christ effectively. And we must allow Him to empower us to spread the good news of salvation to all who would believe. In other words, folks, we cannot effectively be like Jesus or tell others about Jesus without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've been talking over the last several weeks of this end time survival guide. We've been looking at scriptures that instruct us of how we can not only survive, but to thrive in these last days before Jesus is coming back. And let me just pause for a moment and just drill down into this a little bit more about maybe if you're watching here today, or if you're here today and you don't understand what I mean when I say the phrase that Jesus is coming back. Let me just talk to you about that for just one moment. We're going to actually dive into this over the next several weeks. In the next several weeks, I want to talk about this in more detail as I'm going to do a series on end times and really the last days, what's going on here and what the Bible says about the last days. It's not preached on enough from pulpits, and I think we need to be reminded again that as we're seeing these things happen, they're not just happening because they're happening. They're happening because the Bible says that they would happen right before the return of Christ. And I want to talk about what this is, this worldwide event. It's going to be a worldwide event, in a twinkling of an eye event that's going to take place, that's going to make this COVID-19 look like a summer walk in the park. It's called the rapture, and after it, it's called the tribulation, the 7 years after that, a seven-year tribulation. It's described in the Bible in such a way where Jesus is going to come in a cloud. He's going to catch up His bride, the church. That's you and I. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be here one moment, and in the very next, we will be gone. We will vacate this world. And right after that, there's going to be this cataclysmic seven-year tribulation, unlike anything that the world has ever seen, as described in the book of Revelation. From the time when the Holy Spirit birthed the church on the day of Pentecost to the time where Jesus comes and catches away His bride in the rapture, it's called the church age. A lot of people call it also the age of grace. Between those two time frames is the age of grace. We're living in this time where God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and He's drawing people to relationship with Jesus, to the good news of Jesus. We're in that age right now. Thank God for the age of grace that we're living in. But once the rapture occurs and the restraining influence of the church and the power of the Holy Spirit are removed from the earth, Satan is going to be free to do as he wishes. And he's going to attempt to take over the world. The book of Revelation lays it out very, very clearly that Satan's futile attempts and God's powerful response will be, by the way, here's a spoiler alert. I don't want to mess this up for you, but guess what? Satan loses and we win. Satan loses and we win. So are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture? I hope so. You know, we see Satan's attempt. By the way, all this going on this week, we're not wrestling against blacks and whites. We're not wrestling against rich and poor, against liberal and conservative, against man and woman, or against young and old. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood here. Please understand that what's going on and what happened up in Minneapolis was unconscionable. It was wrong. The law, the courts, the process is going to take its place. But what we've seen as a result of that is wrong. It's wrong in the looting, in the pillaging, and the anger that's going on there. But we have to understand it's not against people versus people. We have to understand that the enemy of our souls is out to steal and to kill and to destroy. His name is Satan. And we've seen him work vigorously over the centuries. And even more so this week. This violence and all this tragic death is going on. It's entirely inappropriate. But our enemy is Satan and not man. If Satan can divide the whites and the blacks, the young and the old, the men and the women, the rich and the poor, if he can draw lines of division between people, no matter who or where or what they are, he wins. This world needs Jesus more than ever, amen? And you and I, listen to this, we're ambassadors of this much-needed good news. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. As Pentecostals, we have as a cornerstone of our belief and heritage the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit. But for what purpose? Why are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we, you know, some fully focus on speaking in tongues as the reason that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But tongues only edifies ourselves. Did you know that? The Bible talks about tongues as something that edifies us, or maybe edifies the body if there's an interpretation. But there's so much more to being filled with the Spirit than the Pentecostal experience, that narrow Pentecostal experience that we defined as speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. Why was the Holy Spirit poured out on everyone that day in the upper room? What's God's plan for us as the church in these last days, in this age of grace? I want to talk about that for just a second. If you have your Bibles, look at Ephesians chapter 5. There's five or six verses we're going to read starting in Ephesians first chapter 5, verse 16. It says this, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which is going to ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, take your word. Let it become alive to us today. Oh, show us what you want us to do to walk this out. Holy Spirit, we've invited you here. Now we invite you into our hearts. Reveal to us your word that we can walk it out. Equip us today. Strip away the stuff that doesn't belong and fill us up with the things that do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our text begins today. It says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Certainly, we've seen that this week, but that's not the only time. I mean, it's been evil ever since Adam and Eve bit the apple. Right? I mean, it's been evil. It's been on stage ever since then. And on a daily basis in our lives, we've seen it. But if we're to thrive in these last days, we must have a power that is beyond ourselves. On our own, we're going to miserably fail in our representation of and proclamation of Jesus Christ. But if we stay under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and that's the title of my message today, by the way, it's Under the Influence. If we stay under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will walk successfully and powerfully in the day-to-day demands and challenges that we face against the onslaughts of the attacks of the enemy who would seek to divide and to conquer, to steal and kill and destroy. 1 John 4:4 says it this way, greater is he that is in me, that is in us, than he that is in the world. And when he's talking about that, when 1 John 4:4 is saying that, he's not talking about Jesus. He's actually talking about the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in me, than he that is in the world. Think about that. Jesus is great. His power, but it's the Trinity. It's the three in one. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. It's all in the same. When we're talking about this, he's talking about the Holy Spirit in us that's greater. With him, we're more than a conqueror in every situation. Amen? So the next part says in this text, don't get drunk with wine. It's going to make you act thoughtlessly and carelessly. It's going to ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love this powerful contrast that is stated here in this text. You know, being under the influence and under the control of anything, whether it be alcohol or whether it be drugs or whether it be destructive relationships or whether it be habits or whether it be false doctrines of faith, you name it, all of those are going to lead us to ruin. If we can expand this out and this definition of being under the influence of alcohol, for example, it says don't be drunk with wine. Hey, we can be drunk with a lot of different things, can't we? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says that there's only one way. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, sadly, enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus says very clearly, in case there's any question, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, the Holy Spirit's main job for non-believers is this. It's to make real the truth of Jesus and to point people to Him for salvation and forgiveness of sins. But this supernatural transaction doesn't take place unless believers like you and me open up our mouths and act it out before them and live our lives before them in such a way that says, wait a minute, let me tell you about some good news here today. Let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life. Let me tell you how my life was transformed. Let me tell you what God did for me. Unless we open up our mouths and let others know this good, great news, then we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do what His main job description is in and through our lives. Yes, speaking in tongues is important. Yes, worshiping in the Spirit is important. Yes, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to enjoy His presence in the four corners of our worship experience is great. But the main thing that the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus and to proclaim Him to others. And if we're not doing that, then we're truly not being Spirit-filled believers. God help us this morning. So I'm going to ask you a question. We see and know so many people who are under the influence of something that is leading them to their destruction, don't we? Who do you know? Who do you know that is walking down that wide path of destruction and needs to know about the narrow path, the way, the truth, and the life? Who needs to know about the good news of Jesus that you know about? Once we're under the influence in this way, I'm so thankful that we were once under the influence of the wide path of those destructive behaviors and lifestyles. But now we've submitted our lives to Jesus and we placed our faith in Jesus and His finished work for our salvation, and He's working in us His holiness. No matter who's listening to me today on Facebook Live, if you're there in your cars or sitting out here today, if you're listening to me today, you are under the influence of something. So based on that influence, the Bible says you're either headed down a road of eternal destruction or a path of eternal life. There's no in between here, folks. There's no middle ground here. There's no alternate route. There's no do-overs. Jesus says that He is the only way, and I believe that. I'm going to stand on His word. How about you? His word says that He is the only way. He is the only door. He is the narrow path. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us to testify to our hearts this truth. And if you're listening to me today, the Holy Spirit is confirming that what I'm saying today, you know it is the truth. You know that this is the truth. You know that this is the truth. Understand this, folks. We're all baptized in the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as Savior, but we're constantly in need of being filled. I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. Once we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. And I know that there's some people, I talk to them, and I've experienced over the years that they're kind of frustrated. How come I can't get filled with the Holy Spirit? Folks, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we need to get refilled. This is an ongoing filling. I just like to put it this way. We must be filled again and again because, frankly, we leak. We just leak. We should never be too proud. We should never feel too bad about approaching the throne of grace and inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh and anew. I can't count the times that I've asked the Holy Spirit to fill me again because I leak. I leak. We all leak. We all give into the flesh. We all rely too often on our own strength and abilities to get us through. And eventually, If we do, we're going to fall flat on our faces. We must be refilled again and again and again and as often as we feel compelled to ask. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Even as you're praying right now, feel free to pray. Holy Spirit, won't you fill me again? You know, and here's an important point to keep in mind. We're not waiting on the Holy Spirit to do this at His convenience. He doesn't do it at a certain time of the day, a certain day of the week, when He's in the right mood. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit is waiting simply on us to ask Him? And as we surrender and as we yield our lives to Him completely, it can be any time, anywhere. The Holy Spirit is always ready. He's always willing and He's always able to fill us, to refill us, and to refill us, and to refill us again. Folks, this infilling is not just for pastors. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for special people. It's not just for mature believers. This Spirit-filled life is for every believer, no matter who you are. It's for you today. It's for you today. If you're listening to me, if you hear me today, it's for you. Praise the Lord. So let me say this. Let's flip this equation around. Instead of trying to get more of the Holy Spirit, have you ever tried, oh, if I just get more of you, Holy Spirit, let me just get more of you, Holy Spirit. How many has ever prayed that prayer? Oh, more of you, Holy Spirit. I just want more of you. I understand the heart cry, but let's flip this thing around. Listen to this. Instead of trying to get more of the Holy Spirit, consider instead that the Holy Spirit is wanting to get more of you. Have you ever thought about it that way? You see, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, I think a lot of times we ask Him into our hearts and we compartmentalize that relationship. You can live here, here, and here, but not here, here, and here. It's the same to go with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to feel here, here, and here, but no access to here, here, and here. You see, the Holy Spirit is not going to force His way into any area of your life. The Holy Spirit is simply going to move into those places that you give Him ready access. So let me encourage you this morning. Instead of saying, Lord, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life, instead say, Holy Spirit, I give you more of me. It's a yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's a daily yielding in all of us. Here's another way of putting it. Don't let Him just be a resident in your life. Let Him be the president of your life. You know, a resident just says, well, I'm living here and I'm living here and I'm living here, but I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be in charge. The president is in control of the whole thing. Lord, help us to allow you to be president over my entire being. So how does the Holy Spirit manifest Himself in us? I quickly want to go through the several things here that are laid out in this text. Some practical ways, listen, some practical yet supernatural ways that we can live out a Spirit-filled life that's going to impact those around us with the good news of the gospel of Jesus. If you're tired of living in such a way where you're not impacting people's lives, let me give you some very practical things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. First one in verse 18 and 19, it says that we're to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together as we all make music in our hearts to the Lord. You know, a Spirit-filled believer is a joyful believer, I believe. I mean, a truly Spirit-filled believer is a joyful believer. We're glad in our hearts. We praise God for His greatness. We praise God for His mercies. We praise God for His goodness. We praise Him in His majesty. You know, I've been to churches, and I've been around people outside of the church who claim to have Jesus in their hearts, but who are lifeless and grumpy. Their lack of joy is a dead giveaway that they're not fully yielding their lives to the Holy Spirit. They don't worship the Lord with joyfulness. They just kind of stand there and mumble. They just kind of stand there and grumble. They don't live their lives daily with a joyful heart. They're instead just grumpy. Let me just tell you this morning, folks. No one wants what you're selling. I promise you, nobody wants that. There's enough grumpiness in the world. The world is in need of genuine joy. So let's celebrate and be joyful before the Lord. The Holy Spirit can help us to connect that joy then to others' lives out there in the world. It's contagious. How many knows that joyfulness is contagious? When you're around someone that's laughing, you're laughing with them. When they're joyful, you're joyful. It goes the other way too. Grumpiness. Oh, good. Stay away from me. I don't want to be grumpy like that. When you are joyful, I mean truly joyful, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, that you can be joyful, it's a powerful indication that you've yielded your lives more and more to the Holy Spirit's influence. Here's the second thing. It's an indicator of our daily yielding as the verse is continuing. It says that we always give thanks in our hearts to God for everything. Oh my goodness, that's hard. That's hard to do. A spirit-filled believer is not bitter. A spirit-filled believer doesn't grumble, complain. It's not negative. They're not sour, but they're thankful and they're grateful. We're to give thanks, the Bible says, for everything. It says to God our Father. I like to put it this way. You've heard me say it before, and it's a nice little rhyming phrase. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Practice it. It's not just a one and out. It's got to be a lifestyle. You got to exercise it. Find what you can give thanks for and focus on that. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. Give praise and gratitude to the Lord for these things. Fix your thoughts there. There's a whole lot of things that we can be thankful and grateful for. Allow the Holy Spirit to exercise that gratitude muscle in you. It's a much more appealing reflection of Jesus to those around you instead of grumpiness. Here's a third one. The indicator of being spirit-filled in our text is that it develops in us a heart of humble, gracious submission. As we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, as we put others first before ourselves, as we're more concerned about others than our own desires or needs, we show ourselves to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Here's the point. Spirit-filled submission is humble and gracious. I want you to think about the example of Jesus. The primary act of Jesus coming to give his life for us models for us how we should live our lives selflessly, being others-minded, being graciously humble as Jesus is. The Holy Spirit can help us as we yield to him. These things are in short supply today. Would you agree with me? Joyfulness, gratitude, selfless humility. But folks, as we take these and yield to the Holy Spirit, to give access to the Holy Spirit, to allow us to be joyful, to be grateful, to be selfless in our humility. And as we live them out genuinely before others, they're going to move us beyond the four walls or the four corners of this parking lot, the four walls of our church, the four walls of our small Christian experience, let's put it that way, wherever it is that we are. As we live them out beyond the four walls of our Pentecostal experience of shouting and tongue speaking and dancing before him in our corporate gatherings and personal devotions, which, by the way, are all good and fine. I'm all for it. Hey, let's celebrate. Let's dance before the Lord. But if we're just doing that, we're missing it out. But if we model humility, joyfulness, gratitude out to a lost and dying world in need of genuinely joyful people, in need of genuinely grateful people, in need of genuinely selfless people, then we will see the gospel of Jesus Christ being expanded, and the Holy Spirit will be fulfilling his main job description through us to tell people about Jesus and expand the kingdom of God and see many, many people be saved and rescued from the coming tribulation that's getting ready to take place. You know, being Pentecostal isn't just about being filled with the Spirit for being filled's sake. The Holy Spirit not only lives in us, walks with us, but he acts through us. And that's the fullness of the Pentecostal experience and life and the life that Jesus has for you and for me today. You know, the book of Acts is called that for a reason. It's called Acts because there was the Acts. It documented the Acts of the Spirit-filled church after they were filled with the Spirit, and it catapulted the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Listen, the people of the Spirit are a people on mission. Since the first chapter of Acts, that mission has been front and center to tell the world about Jesus. As the Spirit empowers, Jesus promised in Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he could have said a lot of things after that, but what he said was this: you're going to receive power to be my witnesses. Not to speak in tongues, not to dance and shout before the Lord, even though that's important, but the primary thing is to be witnesses to the gospel, to the good news. Everywhere the people of the Spirit go, they live in such a way that the power of Christ must be visible. Missional living is about being witnesses to the gospel. Being the people of the Spirit is of little value if all we do is speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit in us unites us to Christ. The Holy Spirit with us is making us more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit through us means that we live lives on mission full of joy, gratitude, and selfless humility to those that desperately need to see it. When we love like Jesus, we express that outwardly. Much is made of the expressive ways that we Pentecostals worship, but are we representing Christ to others with the same passion that we worship Jesus inside the church buildings? You know, Jesus ministered with compassion. He extended mercy and always humbly and boldly spoke the truth. People of the Spirit do the same through love, through the love of Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit? The message of Christ delivered by people full of spirit and power, courage, joy, gratitude, love, and humility is what will change people's hearts. Not the strength of our convictions, not the volume of our protests. It's time we stop hollering about what we're against and start proclaiming with compassion who we are for. We are for Jesus! Is it quite possible that we've redefined the Pentecostal experience into a worship style instead of a lifestyle of mission? If so, then we've lost our foundation. We've lost our way. The Holy Spirit intentionally dwells within us to make us more like Jesus and empowers us to missionally go so that people can know Christ. So folks, instead of yelling at people that they're going to hell if they don't get saved, oh my goodness, that's not appealing. Let's yield to the Holy Spirit so that true joy in Jesus, gratefulness towards Jesus, and selflessness as a reflection of who Jesus is courageously and lovingly lived out before a lost and dying world. We need it. The world needs it. And only the Holy Spirit can make it happen as we yield to Him daily. So as we close here today, many of us today are filled with the Spirit. Praise God for that. But we've been leaking. We've been leaking. It's time to get refilled. Today, it's time to get refilled. You know, many of us maybe this morning are struggling to be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. But instead of trying to get more of Him in your life, I want to challenge you that it actually is looking like that He is looking for more of you. He needs more of you. So it's time to yield this morning. Is that you? It's time to yield. Some of you this morning, as you're listening to me, viewing me from Facebook Live and out in this parking lot here today, some of you haven't even received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're under the influence of other things of this world, and you're filled with the things that it has to offer, which is leading you down a path of destruction. You are heading to a place that is not good, and today is your day of repentance. It's time to repent. Let today be a day that you get under the influence of Jesus, and let the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, take control. No matter who you are today, no matter where you are today, whether it's the need to be refilled, to yield, or to repent, the Holy Spirit is here to make you is here to meet you where you are and to lead you to Jesus so that you can be more like Him, so that you can be more effectively representing Him to a lost and dying world in a desperate need of a Savior. I would like you to bow your heads in prayer here today. Father God, as we are here today, we know that there's many that are here today that are filled with Your Spirit. They're saved, but they're leaking. All of us are leaking. And today we need You to fill us today. Refill us today. If that's you this morning and you need a refilling of the Holy Spirit, I want you to just, as a sign of surrender, I want you to lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I need a refilling. I've been leaking lately, and I don't like that I've been becoming dry. I need You to refill me today. Holy Spirit, refill us. Some of you may hear today be saying, you know what, Pastor, I never thought about, instead of crying out for more of the Holy Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit is crying out for more of me. And I simply need to yield. I need to yield my life to Him, not compartmentalize it, not just make Him the resident of my life, but to make Him the president of my life. Holy Spirit, we invite You. If that's you this morning and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come in certain areas and not other areas, and you need to yield to Him more completely, why don't you just pray the prayer in your own way that simply says, Holy Spirit, I give You my whole life. I yield to You my entire being. I want you to be the president of my life today, not just the resident. And he'll do it. Let him fill you completely today. Let him take charge of your mind, your emotions, your words, your actions, your goals, your possessions, your relationships, everybody, everything. Holy Spirit, I'm yours. You got it. I give it to you. And maybe today you're listening to this, viewing from wherever you are, here in the parking lot. And maybe today you just not ever given your life to Jesus. You're headed down a wide path of destruction. The decisions that you're making are destroying you. And Satan is just luring you along. And he's out to, listen to me, he's out to steal. He's out to kill. And he's out to destroy your life. And I pray, Lord God, that as we're listening to this today, our prayers, that there would be folks that are listening to this today, and they've chosen that wide path that's leading to destruction, and they would instead say, wait a minute, I'm going to choose that narrow path. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I don't want to get caught in that tribulation. I don't want to head down this wide path of destruction. I want what Jesus has for me. I want to get saved today. And if that's you, you pray this prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. It's a simple thing, really. Jesus has already done all that needs to be done, but there's one other thing that needs to be done, and only you can do it. And that's to simply open up the door to your heart and to say, Jesus, would you come and live in my heart? Forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I repent today. And I invite you, Spirit of Christ, to come and take not only residence in my life, but to become president in my life and to fill me today, that I would be yielded to the Holy Spirit, becoming more like Jesus as a result, and then be able to tell others about you. That's why the Holy Spirit came. To fill us, to make us more like Jesus, so that we can be a representative to him to a lost and dying world in desperate need of that good news. Amen. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. And all God's people said amen. And all God's people honked amen. I want you to take your communion elements right now. And if you're viewing from home, if you will receive and take those elements as well. You know, do you remember it as you're doing that? I just want to remind you. Do you remember the special gifts that you got at Christmas? The special gifts maybe that you got for your birthday that stick out to you. Maybe a gift or two that you remember more than others. Those that just kind of stick out to you. Oh, I remember that Christmas. I remember that birthday, that special event when I received that wonderful gift. Maybe you're reminded of it each time you wear it, each time you drive it, each time you enjoy using it. You're reminded of that special, not only the gift, but of the sacrifice of the giver and the love that motivated that person to give it. Did you realize that that's what communion is? Jesus, there's a scripture in the Bible, the verse says, Jesus says with the disciples in the upper room, or rather in the upper room when he was gathered together to take that communion before he passed away. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And we do this until the Lord returns. When the rapture takes place, we don't have to remember it anymore because we're going to be in his presence and we'll be constantly reminded and constantly worshiping him and thanking him for it. But until then, we take this cup and this bread and we're reminded of it, of the gift of salvation given in complete love to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you just received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you can now say truthfully, I receive this cup and I receive this bread for the broken body and for the spilled blood, for the remission of my sins and the healing of my body. Thank God that I'm saved. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29 says that while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And listen to this. He says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do you realize that he's not taking communion anymore? And that's the last time that he did it until the day that he does it with us again on the day that we're gathered together and for all of eternity. So I want you to take this wafer. And y'all just talk amongst yourselves as I peel this off here. There we go. Brother Fred, I know the problem you had there, brother. God bless you. I feel your pain. So we take this wafer, and I want you to break it. Now, Father, this is your broken body. And because you were broken, we are made whole. So, Father, I pray over each one that is receiving this element, viewing online and here at this gathering, that if there's any brokenness, whether it be physical, emotional, relational, mental, financial, every area that we're broken, I speak wholeness in the name of Jesus Christ. You were broken so that we might be made whole. Whether it be progressive, whether it be instantaneous, we walk in the wholeness that comes only in and through you. Would you receive this bread, and would you receive your wholeness that comes as a result of it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are made whole and we are being made whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, this cup is a representation of your blood that you spilled. There is, the Bible says, no remission of sins without the spilling of blood. You require, Jesus, a perfect sacrifice for the remission of our sins. And Jesus volunteered and said, I'll do it. So, Jesus, we thank you for living your perfect life and dying the death that you died and rising again and living the life that you are now living in us and through us. And that because of your shed blood, our sins are washed clean. One drop washes us clean. And we're now saved and justified and restored back to right relationship with God our Father. We remember you and this precious gift by receiving this cup. Would you receive it now? Would you just give the Lord praise and thanks for his blood and for his broken body? Hallelujah. Well, God is good, amen. God is good all the time and all the time. Amen. Well, I know that many of you are not used to sitting in your cars. And I want to do this too. I don't want to just close this out by saying, if you need prayer, if you receive the Lord, if you're visiting here for the first time, if there's any form of communication that we can communicate with you, there's a couple of ways you can do it. First off, that phone number that I listed to you earlier. And I would imagine we would post that. It's posted on the Facebook Live page as well. But you'll see the phone number. Please text us. If you need prayer this morning, though, we'll social distance. And, you know, we don't have to lay hands on you to pray for you. We can lay hands out towards you, and we'll pray for you that way. But if you need prayer this morning, as we close this out from our Facebook Live broadcast, we're going to keep it open for you all for prayer as well. But I want to give you a few quick announcements as we close out here today. And then we'll let Emma keep playing, and we'll close it out for the folks that are viewing. And for the rest of us, we can hang out here in fellowship if you like, and we'll have a time of prayer as well. But next Sunday, we're going to honor our graduates. And we have some graduates that are moving up and out, and we congratulate them. So as part of our service next week, we'll honor them. We're going to continue our drive-in services. Did you enjoy today? Hasn't this been great? Yeah. And for those of you that are viewing online, we're going to continue to do our Facebook Live services for a while. We're going to continue to do it for permanently, but we're going to continue doing our drive-in services for a while and kind of just see how this goes, right? Just kind of see what's going on with that. Thank you for your tithes and offerings as you've given as you're leaving here today. We're going to have Shane and Cindy with those yellow buckets and their yellow reflective vests. Please don't throw gum at them or anything bad. Just give them money. They give them tithes and offerings. Be nice to them as you're leaving here today. We're also going to continue with our children's and small group ministry and our youth ministry on Zoom and continue that social distancing there. By the way, the restrooms are open if you need to use them. And we just want to say thank you so much for coming out today. We'll see you next Sunday here, and we'll see you next Sunday online. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His shine His face upon you and give you peace. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.